If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. We'll read one verse of Scripture as a basis for the message. Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And that's the Lord talking. And he said, Jacob speaking now, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." I want to speak to you tonight for just a few moments on this thought. Lord, I need a blessing. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity to be under this arbor tonight. I thank you for this open door. And I realize that with opportunity, there comes responsibility. Lord, I'm not here tonight to see nor to be seen. I'm not here to entertain nor to be entertained. If this congregation forgets my name, it won't amount to a lot. But, oh God, I want to be used. And I want to be a help. Yet, Lord, I realize within myself I can do absolutely nothing. The only way I can help anybody is for you to help me. The only way I can be a blessing is for you to bless me. So use us in these next few moments. I don't know how everybody came to this service tonight. But oh God, would you so speak to our hearts that you'll change the way we leave. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Tonight, if you could write a letter to God, and in your letter, you were permitted to ask God for one thing, what would you ask God for? I'm glad we're not confined to a letter. And we're not restricted to just one request. But I want you to focus in tonight on that special need in your life. That special burden on your heart. If you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? What would you ask God for? I'm sure there are some tonight that would say, "Preacher, if I could ask God for any one thing, I would ask God to save my family." Perhaps you have parents that are lost, or siblings, or children, or grandchildren that are lost. And if you could ask God for any one thing, you would ask God to save your family. What would you ask God for? It could be that you're experiencing health problems, physical challenges. And you say, preacher, if I could ask God for anything, I would ask God to touch my body, to restore my health. When you're sick physically, it affects every aspect of your life. What would you ask God for? It could be that you're suffering emotionally. And I've learned that emotional pain can be more severe than physical suffering. Yes. That pain you feel on the inside can be more devastating than any pain you could feel on the outside. Perhaps you're discouraged. You're despondent. You're depressed. You have been overwhelmed by a sense of hopelessness. And if you could ask God for any one thing, you would ask God to let the birds sing in your heart one more time and to let the sun shine in your soul once again. What would you ask God for? There could be somebody tonight that needs direction. There may be somebody here tonight that would say, preacher, if I could ask God for any one thing, I would ask God to use me. I would ask God to fill me with His Spirit. I would ask God to put His touch on my life. What would you ask God for? I want you to focus in tonight on that special need, that special burden on your heart. As we come to Genesis chapter 32, Jacob needed a blessing. I wonder tonight, am I talking to anybody that needs a blessing? Jacob had a special need. Not only did Jacob need a blessing, in these verses, Jacob received his blessing. And for just a few moments, I'd like for us to look at some truth connected to Jacob receiving his blessing. And I pray that God would use these truths, these principles, to help us receive our blessing. Several things here I'd like to bring to your attention. Notice with me, first of all, Jacob's desperation. I believe in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob is walking through the deepest and darkest valley he's ever experienced. He's carrying the heaviest burden he's ever carried. Jacob has come to the end of himself. He's at the end of His road. There's no place to go. Nowhere to hide. No one to turn to. Nothing short of a miracle will help Jacob now. He has come to a place of desperation. And by the way, when you come to the end of your road, when you come to the end of yourself, and there's no place to go, nowhere to run, no place to hide, when nothing short of a miracle will help you, don't panic. It could be that God is preparing you to receive your special blessing. I believe there are two things that contributed to Jacob's desperation. If you look back in verse 7 of this chapter, the Bible says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid." And those two words, "greatly afraid," in the Hebrew means that Jacob was greatly afraid. Now understand, Jacob is en route back to the land of Canaan. He left the land of Canaan 20 years prior to this experience. Jacob deceitfully took the blessing from his brother Esau. And when he did, Esau vowed to kill Jacob. Esau was a man's man. He was a rustic man. A man of the field. A hunter. Jacob, on the other hand, was a mama's boy. And when Esau vowed to kill Jacob, Jacob started running, and he didn't stop until he could literally sing, "I'm 500 miles away from home." For 20 years, Jacob lived under a cloud of fear. But the day came when God said, "Jacob, it's time to go back." And so Jacob gathered his family. He gathered all of his belongings and he began the journey back to the land of Canaan. Jacob sent messengers before him because he feared Esau. The messengers weren't gone very long until they returned. And they said, "Jacob, we ran into your brother Esau. He has 400 men with him. And by the way, Jacob, we were supposed to tell you he's coming to see you." Then Jacob was greatly afraid. But not only was Jacob afraid, if you look in verse 24 of this same chapter, and Jacob was left alone. Let me stop right here for just a moment. How many of you are here tonight? Raise your hand. How many of you not here? Raise your hand. Everybody got to be somewhere. I want you to stay with me. Because we're going somewhere. I promise we are. Jacob was left alone. Now look at me for a moment. It'd be hard enough carrying the heaviest burden you ever carried. But imagine carrying that burden alone. It'd be difficult enough to go through the deepest valley you've ever gone through. But imagine going through that valley alone. I noticed as the preacher a moment ago knelt at the altar, just instantly, several men gathered around him and they were weeping with him and praying for him. And there is a degree of comfort in to be received in just knowing that others care and knowing that others are there for you. If you've ever given up a loved one, you know how important the food that is brought in is. And even though you can't eat it all, you know that with every dish of food, somebody somewhere is saying, we're thinking about you and we're concerned about you and we care about you. One of the most terrible feelings and the most horrifying feelings you'll ever experience is being alone when you're in a valley and you feel that nobody cares, and you're going through a storm and you feel so all alone. Jacob was alone. Now, I asked you a question a moment ago. If you could ask God for any one thing, what would it be? I don't know what came to your mind. I don't know if anything came to your mind. To be honest, as I was asking the question, several things came to my mind. But I want to ask you a question. How desperate are you? How desperate are you? We want to see our family saved, but I'm afraid we're not desperate enough. We want the touch of God on our lives, but we're not desperate enough. We want to see revival, but we're not desperate enough. We want to see our children turn out right and our grandkids turn out right, but we're just not desperate enough. We want God to use us, but we're not desperate enough. Dear friend, it was desperation that caused the children of Israel to cry out from Egyptian bondage and praying and begging God to deliver them. It was desperation that caused Rachel to pray, give me children or else I die. It was desperation that drove Hannah to the temple and caused her to pray, God, if you'll give me a son, I promise I'll give him back. It was desperation that caused the prodigal son to come to himself and say, I want to rise and go to my father. How desperate are you tonight? Oh, that's important. God uses desperation to take you out of your comfort zone to where you need to be. When you come to Joshua chapter 5, I preached on it this past Sunday morning. The land of Canaan was before them, And the Bible says the manna stopped. For 40 years they had gone out and gathered the manna. It was there. It was there. Every morning it was there. And on the sixth day, God gave enough manna for the Sabbath day. But all of a sudden, it stopped. Now they had to do something. Because they were in a desperate situation. They didn't need faith. When all they had to do is walk out each morning and gather the manna. But now the manna's gone. When you can see your way clear, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith. When you can explain it, when you can see your way clear, you don't need God. And if you can explain it, it's not God. But God takes us out of our comfort zone and brings us to a place of desperation. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Number two, not only do we see Jacob's desperation, but we see his determination. The Bible says there wrestled with Jacob a man. I believe this was a Christophany. A Christophany is simply an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. I believe this was God. Notice he said in verse 28, thy name shall be called among Jacob and Israel, for as a prince thou hast had power, thou hast power with God. Verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob is praying for a blessing. He is asking for a blessing. I remember Brother Mays Jackson telling the story of a little blind woman being in the hospital, and one day the Catholic priest came to her room. And he said, ma'am, I'm the priest from the Catholic Church, and I've come to bless you. And the little blind woman said, let me feel of your hands. And the priest didn't understand the request, but as he talked with her, he realized that she was blind. And so finally he stepped up next to her bedside. He put his hands out in front of the little woman, and the little blind woman reached out and she began to rub his hands and feel of his hands. And she sighed and said, you can't bless me. And he said, I don't understand. I'm the priest from the Catholic Church. I've come to bless you. She said, no. The only one that can bless me has nail prints in his hands. This was God. And the Lord said, Jacob, let me go. Jacob said, I will not let thee go. I'm not turning loose. I'm not giving up. I'm not letting go. Except thou bless me, Lord, I need a blessing. Amen. You remember Jesus told about a judge, and he was an unjust judge. I'm glad that we're serving a good God. And he's good all the time. He's a good God, and he doest good, David said. This was an unjust judge. And this judge regarded neither God nor man. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about man. I'm glad I'm serving a God tonight that's too wise to make a mistake. I'm glad He loves me too much to do me wrong. And regardless of what comes my way, I have full assurance in my heart that God is going to do right by me. Jesus said, not one sparrow falls from the sky without your heavenly Father. And He said, don't you know that you are more precious than the sparrow? And the songwriter said, if His eye is on the sparrow, then I know He watches me. But watch this. This judge, unjust, regarded neither God nor man. One day, felt a tug at his cloak. He turned around, and there stood a little widow woman. And she was crying, avenge me of mine adversaries. This judge said, woman, what have I to do with thee? I don't care about you. I don't care about your problem. I don't have time. Get away. Leave me alone. He proceeded to walk away. There she was again. Same woman. Same request. Avenge me of my adversaries. Look, woman, I've already told you. I don't care about your adversary. I don't have time for you. I don't care about your problems. Just go away. Avenge me of my adversaries. Everywhere that judge went, that little woman followed in his steps, tugging at his cloak, crying, avenge me of mine adversaries, avenge me of mine adversaries. And finally, this unjust judge, this judge that regarded neither God nor man, stopped and he said, all right, all right, all right, I will avenge you of your adversary. Friend, he didn't do it because he cared about her. He didn't do it out of a heart of compassion. He didn't do it out of concern. But Jesus said it was because of her importunity. That simply means she refused to take no for an answer. I ask you, if you could ask God for any one thing. You said, preacher, more than anything in the world, I want the power of God on my life. I want God to use me. I've got loved ones that are lost. I've got children, if they die in their sin, they'll go to hell. My marriage is falling apart. What would you ask God for? I want to ask you tonight, how determined are you? Are you willing to lay hold of the horns of the altar and pray, God, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not letting go. Except Thou bless me. Lord, I need a blessing. I refuse to let go. Except Thou bless me. Determination was involved. Number three. there was a demand involved. Look at verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? This is intriguing to me. You do understand this is God. What is thy name? Don't you think God knew his name? If God knew the answer, why would he ask the question? Do you think God was having one of those senior moments? Let's see, I know who you are. I knew your mama. I knew your daddy. I knew your aunts, your uncles. It's on the tip of my tongue. I almost said it. What'd you say your name was? If God knew the answer, why did he ask the question? Why would divinity ask questions? Why would omniscience ask questions? Why would God ask questions? Adam! Where art thou? Don't you think God knew where Adam was? Cain! Where is thy brother Abel? Don't you think God knew? You remember after the disciples had fished all night and caught nothing, Jesus was standing on the shore. John 21 verse 4 says, But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus, and Jesus cried out, children, have ye any meat? Don't you think he knew their nets were empty? I'll go a step farther than that. He was responsible for their nets being empty. He saw to it personally that not one little fish swam into their net all night long. You say, preacher, why would he do that? He was creating an opportunity to manifest his power. He was creating an opportunity to reveal himself. Cast your net on the right side of the boat and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, expecting to retrieve the net empty as they'd done all night long, but as they tugged at the net, it would not move. And they investigated the situation and discovered that it was full of fish. And that's when John looked at Simon Peter and said, that's no stranger. Peter, that's him. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Wouldn't you love to be in some services that you couldn't explain, that just left us standing in awe, saying, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. You should have been there last night. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. If he knew the answer, why did he ask the question? But now wait a minute. This is not the first time Jacob had been asked this question. But then again, it wasn't the first time Jacob had asked for a blessing either. You remember when Jacob approached his blind father Isaac, disguised himself as Esau, placed fleece around his arms because Esau was a hairy man and Jacob was smooth skinned. And he said, Father, I've come to receive my blessing. And his father said, who are you? What's your name? And he said, why, Father, this is Esau. your firstborn. I am Esau. And he lied to his father. Now we come to Genesis chapter 32, and once again Jacob's crying out, I want a blessing, give me a blessing. And once again, the question comes back to Jacob. Who are you? What is thy name? Except this time, he's not talking to his blind daddy. This is the great I am. And on this night, he said, no more running, no more hiding, no more pretending, no more acting. I am Jacob. By the way, the word Jacob means supplanter. It means manipulator, conceiver, deceiver. And he had lived up to his name. And he knew what he was saying when he said, I am Jacob. He was saying to God, I am a deceiver, I am a supplanter, a manipulator, a conniver. I'm Jacob! But before God would give him his blessing, he had to confess the truth about himself. I remember one day, I have one son. He's 41. He's pastored the same church for 20 years. Started with 9 people, and they're running well over 1,000 now. And the beautiful thing about it is, just about everybody in his church was saved there. His church is not made up of disgruntled church members, you know, that, you know what they do. And, but when Brian was about 16 or 17, and, you know, people have asked me, you know, how old do you think Lucifer was when he rebelled against God? I think he was probably about 16, 17, somewhere. One day I got a call from the principal of Brian's school, and he said, Mr. Edwards, he said, where is your son Brian today? And I said, he's in school. He said, Mr. Edwards, he said, I'm sorry to tell you, but your son is not at school. He said, where was your son yesterday? And I said, at school. He said, Mr. Edwards, I hate to tell you this, but your son was not at school yesterday. Where was your son day before yesterday? And by this time, I'm saying, in school? He said, Mr. Edwards, your son hasn't been to school all week. So that afternoon, about 3:25, I was sitting out in our front yard in a swing. Just a swing. And all of a sudden that black Camaro pulled into the driveway, and Brian jumped out of that Camaro and started into the house. And I said, Brian, I said, come here a minute. Have a seat. Okay, and we sat there in that swing for a while, and I said, your car doing okay? Yeah, running all right? Oh yeah, running great. How was school today? Oh, school was good. You played any basketball this week? Oh yeah, just Same old. How's your knees doing? You've been having some problems with his knees. Oh, my knees doing fine. How was school yesterday? Oh, school was good yesterday. And we just talked, you know, and I said, well, how was school? And he said, Daddy, school's been great all week. I've had a great week at school this week. It's just been a great week. And I looked at him and I said, Brian, I said, I know. He said, you know what? I said, Brian, I talked to your principal today. He called our house. I know. And Brian dropped his head. And he said, Daddy, if you knew, why have you been asking me all these questions? I said, because, Brian, I wanted to give you the chance. I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell me the truth. I said, Brian, it would have meant so much more to me if you had just told me the truth. You lied! And Brian dropped his head and he began to weep. But that caused me to realize and understand just a little bit of how God must feel. When we stand up and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, I want to serve God and do right, and all the time God is waiting for us to say, no more hiding, no more running, no more pretending. God wants us to confess the truth. You remember when Jesus said to the Canaanite woman, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, truth, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. Listen to me, I'm just about done. Just about finished. But you don't want to leave me now. You don't want to leave me now. I promise. What do you need from God tonight? If you could ask God for any one thing, what would it be? Salvation of your family, the touch of God on your life, direction for His will. Does it mean enough to you? Is it important enough to you to fall on your face before a holy God and cry, no more hiding, Lord. No more running, Lord. I'm through pretending. Truth, Lord. Are you willing to confess the truth about who you are? And that's a painful thing. I hate cameras. Hate them. They lie about me. I can see a picture of myself and I say, I know I don't look that bad. I know I look better than that picture. I'm not as big as... My hair's not that thin, I know. But pictures don't lie. Truth is, we don't want to see the truth about ourselves. As a matter of fact, we look into our hearts, we see what we want to see. Number four, and I'm done. There was a disguise involved. Now, if you're wondering as to what Jacob's blessing was all about, look in verse 11, if you will, of the same chapter. We're just about there. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Jacob's blessing was connected to deliverance from Esau. I don't know how Jacob expected God to answer his prayer. Maybe Jacob expected God to give him the strength of a Samson or to send angels. I don't know. But let me tell you what God did. God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And it was out of joint. When you go back to verse 11, after Jacob got up from praying, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, Jacob gathers all of these animals together. He says to his servants, you take all of these animals, give them to Esau as a present, as a gift from me. And he said, preadventure, I will appease him with a present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Preadventure, he will accept of me. Jacob said, I'll just give Esau all of these animals, and that should take care of it. That'll do it. But the hour that Jacob has dreaded for 20 years finally arrives. Jacob finds himself standing face to face with Esau. Jacob bows himself 7 times to the ground. That was a custom, a ritual in that day. It was a means of making a confession by bowing 7 times, he was saying to Esau, I did you wrong. I was wrong. And Jacob held out his neck. Perhaps he expected to feel Esau's heel on the back of his neck, crushing his face into the hot, burning desert sand. But instead, Esau fell on his neck and kissed him and said, I forgive you. And about this time, old Jacob is thinking, boy, I'm sure glad I sent those animals. I knew they'd do the job. I knew it would work. Then Esau said, Jacob, you know all of those animals you sent to me? You can keep them. I don't want them. I don't need them. You just keep them. That was God's way of saying to Jacob, your scheming, your planning, your conniving had nothing to do with this. This was all me, Jacob. You had nothing to do with it. It was all me. Now, I believe Esau had come to kill Jacob. He had 400. He had an army with him. If the animals didn't do it, what did? Now watch this. Come here, Jared. You're a pretty good sized fella. Come here, man. Jacob's blessing had come in disguise. The Bible said they wrestled with Jacob, a man, it was the Lord, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, blessing him didn't work, and speaking to him didn't work, and when all else failed, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. Watch this. Jacob is wrestling and all of a sudden God touches his thigh. And now Jacob, he's having to learn a new song now.
Yeah.
He's never sung this before. Running to me. I'm And when Jacob approached Esau, I can see Jacob as he drags that leg, moaning and groaning with every step he took. I believe God used that thigh out of joy to touch Esau's heart. Esau had compassion on him and forgave him. Jacob received his blessing and didn't even know it because his blessing came in disguise. I ask you at the beginning of the message, what would you ask God for? Are you willing to receive your blessing on God's terms and not yours? Are you willing to receive your blessing in God's time and not yours? In God's way and not yours? Sometimes blessings come in disguise. For so many years, I have struggled with the pain in my body. I've dreamed about having a pain-free moment and what it would feel like. But as I look back, I understand now that my pain was God's gift to me. It was my blessing in disguise. There have been so many storms. At one point, we lost our home. My wife and I gave up a son. We have given up a grandchild. But as I look back across the storms and the valleys and the trials and the tears, now I realize that those tragedies and those storms, those battles were blessings in disguise. In my opinion, the greatest songwriter since David and Solomon is Fanny Crosby. There's hardly a service that goes by that we don't sing at least one of her songs. If you know anything about Fanny Crosby, you know that she was blind. She lost her sight as an infant. She had a problem with her eyes. It could have been a cold or what we referred to as pink eyes as a baby. Her father went into town to get some medicine. The doctor was out on a call. He left someone in his office. And mistakenly, he gave Fanny Crosby's father some salve that was intended to use on horses and cows and large animals. Not knowing what he was doing, he took that salve home and rubbed it on the eyes of his little baby girl. And it claimed her vision. She grew up blind. You know, I can only imagine the guilt that he must have felt. Only God knows how many times he must have asked why. But as Fanny Crosby grew older, she began to write unbelievable songs. And in her testimony, she would always thank God that she was blind. She said that it was through her blindness that God gave her her songs. Her blindness was God's gift to her. For example, she wrote the song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." They had gone to a prison, and Fanny Crosby went along to provide the special music. She played her accordion and she sang, and several prisoners responded. They were saved, and as they were leaving the prison, Fanny Crosby heard a faint voice crying, "Don't pass me by." She was tuned in. She heard what the others couldn't hear. And so she stopped and she began to make her way toward that voice, "Please don't pass me by." And she found herself standing at the bedside of a prisoner that had heard the gospel, but he was physically unable to respond, yet he wanted to be saved too. That night she said she couldn't sleep. All she could hear was the voice of that prisoner. "Don't pass me by, please don't pass me by." And so she got up and started writing the words, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by." Have you ever been blessed by the song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine"? Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That song, "When I shall see Him face to face and sing the story saved by grace," was written by a blind woman. "When I shall see Him face to face." Those songs are blessing us today. Even though she's been in heaven for many years. All because one night a little baby girl gave up her vision. And I'm sure her daddy, her mother didn't know. But her blindness was a blessing in disguise. Are you willing to receive your blessing on God's terms, in God's way? "Lord, I need a blessing." I want you to stand with heads bowed.